When the growing social restrictions began to happen a few weeks ago, I had remembered that years back I had read a novel by the great French writer and essayist Albert Camus. Besides being a Nobel Prize laureate in literature, Camus was also part of a group of European thinkers called existentialists. Now, even though existentialism had roots in the 1900s, it really became popular in a more public way after the Second World War. People had experienced the devastation of war up close and personal on European soil. Hundreds and thousands had been killed. Hundreds of thousands had been displaced. The trauma, it was overwhelming. Existentialism was committed to examining life for what it was outside abstractions, fantasies, illusions. It sought to examine life and death and the essence of what it was to be human. To be human is to be free, authentically free. Free to choose without others determining who you have to be. Free to find the courage to be oneself without pretense or illusion. The novel by Camus I reread is called The Plague. It is fictional, but also based on historical facts about how in a certain part of French Algeria, there had been recurrences of the plague in the form of cholera, and it had spread throughout the population, killing many. One of the reasons I reread the novel was that Camus examines through his characters, he examines what happens to people and to a society that is on lockdown with the borders sealed. How do you live in the face of fear and an inevitable doom, seeking some light and hope, even as the future is uncertain? How do you grieve the dead, but also work for the living? How do you find your authentic humanity when society has encouraged you to live like fantasy and illusion in less urgent times? You know, life is prosperous and good and happy. Don't worry about these more urgent matters. One of the things that happens to the population, and as fear grows, one of the things that happens is that people become more and more superstitious. You know, any hope in this or that, you know, cure or magic or charms or beliefs in this or that, oh, this is going to work, you got to try it, you know, it goes way up. It's a hotbed for scammers, as people are looking for quick fixes and hope wherever they can find it, even if it's probably fake, you know, any hope, any shred of hope, they want to seize. Desperation, combined with fear and a feeling of being trapped, makes us all victims and our courage to face life in all its difficult reality becomes a real challenge. Well, this is also very much the situation of the people at the time of Jesus. You know, even though they're not dealing with a plague or COVID-19, the people are hemmed in by other social restrictions. The masses are exceedingly poor. They are under the rule of a foreign power. Their own leaders, you know, they keep them chained using guilt and fear over their destiny and the belief that God can only rescue them if they toe the line, as the religious leaders lay it down. You better toe the line or else. Any hope of breaking free, of changing their situation in any other way, it's a pipe dream. And so they are vulnerable. Vulnerable to dream and to hope wherever they find it, whether it's real or not. They're desperate. You know, what's the alternative to dreaming and hoping, even if it's fake? What's the alternative? Well, it's fatalism. You might as well be dead then. But here comes Jesus, offering something different, totally different. So what's that difference about Jesus? Well, he's a healer. In a world before modern medicine, anyone with a gift of healing is a powerful person. And Jesus is clearly a gifted healer. But instead of seeking some money or power as, you know, payment for his healing or something like that, Jesus is seeking for people to open their hearts to an alternative vision for themselves and the nation as a whole. He's talking about healing the nation, not just physically, but spiritually. The people, they're soul sick. The spiritual remedy of the religious authorities is all about fueling the fear and threat of outsiders and building up the people's hate and animosity toward anyone who doesn't toe the line. They also use shaming along with blaming, and they do this in a public way. All of it, it's intended to make people submissive. When people are down and out, there's lots of negative energy that has to go somewhere. Shame, guilt, and fear, it kind of builds up the energy, and blame, hate, and violence towards others, it's a great way to unleash it. You know, the authorities will unleash it where they need it unleashed. But here comes Jesus. You know, he's using his powers of healing to break down the negative energy through the therapy of compassion and forgiveness. You know, by healing through love, bodies, minds, spirits, they're being released from the negative energy of fear and hate. And contrary to the spiritual leaders of Israel, Jesus declares that his kind of healing love is what God is really all about. The spiritual leaders, they've betrayed the people. They're using them and abusing them by imprisoning them with fear and shame and guilt. Okay. So what happens? Who wins? Who wins the people over? Is it love, as Jesus is embodying and teaching it through his healing presence? Or is it fear and hate that wins? Well, the story of Palm Sunday is about Jesus entering Jerusalem during the most important religious festival of the people, and that is the Passover. The Passover is all about the liberation of people from their ancient enemy, Egypt. Who's their enemy now? According to the authorities, the enemy is now Rome. Rome is the new Egypt. And in order to defeat Rome, they need God behind them. And the only way to get God activated behind them is by observing religious law ever more strictly and faithfully and rigorously. And when God comes to save them, God will do so through a Messiah Savior. And this Savior will be like their ancient King David, a mighty warrior who will unite all the people and their leaders behind a campaign to crush their enemies. Jesus, of course, has been inspiring the people with a very different vision for the nation. You know, Jesus is a healer and a lover, and the salvation he's come to bring is about the people learning to forgive one another, overcome the barriers of class and race that divide them, and build bridges rather than walls with their enemies. Bridges. To offer an open hand rather than a closed fist. Even though this is not what people have envisioned the Messiah to be, that's not what they've been taught by the leaders. And even though the authorities have been pumping the people with a different vision by fueling the fear, the shame, the hate, the blame, the people still want to believe in Jesus. Remember, they want to believe in things. And they do believe in Jesus in a way. They welcome him into the city like he's a king. They cheer and wave palm branches. Hosanna! You know, but we know what's going to happen, don't we? We know how the story ends. You know, by the end of the week, the people will have turned on Jesus or abandoned him because he has not met their expectations for a Messiah they want. They want a Messiah of miracles and quick fixes. Heal me, Jesus, and heal us as a nation. Do some magic. We don't want to have to take on responsibility for healing our world, each other, and ourselves. We don't want to take that on ourselves. You do it for us. They want a Messiah who will destroy their enemies because the problem is always out there. Don't ask us to change anything in ourselves, Jesus. The problem is always someone else. If only everybody else smartens up, the world will be just great. You know, as long as we have our power back, we will be happy and everything will be good. As long as we're in charge, the right people will have the power, the right ones, and the wrong people, well, they'll get what they really deserve. The world will be right again. Give us miracles, money, and power, dear Jesus, but don't ask us to change according to this pipe dream of love for the world, starting with us having to love each other, even that person. We don't want to have to do anything or give up anything for someone else. Don't ask us to change our lives, our lifestyles, our routines, the things we want to do when we want to do them. Don't hem in our freedom. Yes, we're having to do this for a couple of months, but boy, we'll be glad to jump out and go out and do and travel and do everything else once we're given permission. And this, my friends, this, it's not just about the people in Jesus' day, you know, it's about us too. Our enemy right now, it's not Egypt or Rome. It's not even COVID-19 in and of itself. That's not our enemy. It's what COVID-19 can do to us that's an even greater threat. If we want to really hear what Jesus is saying, it's not about any quick fix of dealing with the illness and then going back to life the way it was. No, no. If we're really going to hear what Jesus is saying, we have to be prepared to be changed by his love, and then we have to take responsibility for our world in the name of that love. If we're going to be changed by Jesus' love, we're going to have to take responsibility for the welfare of our neighbor. Instead of blaming and shaming others, it's about creating bridges of understanding and friendship. Instead of neglecting others and this planet by our lifestyles, it's about taking responsibility to care for the world around us, beginning with some personal changes in what we do and how we live. Okay, you may be thinking, it's all so overwhelming. Where do we begin? Where do we begin? It all feels so abstract and distant talking this way. How do we make a concrete difference? Well, we get empowered as human beings when we make one or two meaningful changes in our lives at a time. One or two meaningful changes at a time. I'm sure any one of us can think of one or two things we can do toward the health of our planet and the care of all life on it. I'm sure we can. Who's around us? What person or organization needs some of our care? What in my personal lifestyle contributes to the killing of our planet? Can I change one thing there? Maybe eliminate some of my carbon footprint? Maybe be a little more attentive what I buy and how I dispose of things and the impact that has on our planet? Can I get a little more focused, you know, spiritually, mentally, you know, physically, toward more meaningful healing and wholeness? What should I give up? What should I take on in a more committed way? There's an answer to every one of these questions. In Camus' novel, the plague is eventually overcome. A lot of people have died. Many survivors have been changed. Some have lost their faith, others have found it. But those who are the real heroes are not those who have made great splashes in the papers and the news for what they've done heroically to fight the battle. Rather, in the novel, it's in the small everyday ways that people have cared for people, absorbed the fear, the pain, the grief around them, and they've kept searching for ever deeper meaning to build their lives going forward. You know, in times of extremity, it has to be real and authentic, or it has to be discarded. Real and authentic, or else it's got to be thrown away. There's no time, there's no room for anything fake. You know, any illusions, any escapism. Illusions of quick fixes, of blaming and shaming, oh, that's where the problem is, and judging outward, or alternatively escaping into our own private world of pleasure and oblivion. You know, they're no longer options for those who want to live whole lives anymore. Jesus came with a message of love that would change everything if people were prepared to begin to change themselves. It would change everything. Unless each of us takes this on, we cannot discover the authentic humanity God gave us to fulfill. Let us pray. Dear God, find us, each and every one of us, in this season of COVID-19. Don't let us settle for being the same again, O God. Don't let us find peace in just going back to the way things were. Inspire us, provoke us, disrupt us with some clarity and new passion to do something new, to change something, to connect, commit, engage. We pray this, O God, in Jesus' name. Amen.